Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We got an early candidate for, I know we like to do best text of the day. How about worst text
of
the day?
Wait, hold on. Let's stay with text of the day.
Okay.
The text of the day can be an awful take.
Text of the day. You tell me whether this is a great take or a bad take.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to close my eyes and listen.
Bad take.
All this talk and JB has almost never stepped up in any big moment to help this team.
It's a horrible take.
Did you not see the Indiana series? Did you not see the trophy they gave him afterwards?
That was.
Did you not see the NBA Finals where they gave him a trophy after that as well? Like, literally, that's somebody just trying to F with me, right? Like, that's what that's got to be.
Yeah.
You can't possibly believe JB's never stepped up.
You working for Dunkin' Donuts today?
Oh, what did I do?
You got the orange and red?
I love orange.
I know you do.
Ball Nation.
I thought you were like a semi-dunking.
It's terrible. Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
But the other part of that, Andy, you have to acknowledge that Mannix also said that while he is expecting Jalen to have a big year, that he's going to be challenged this way years that he never was before. Defenses are going to be, you know, the one, and he's
going to be a nightmare. It's going to be an early nightmare. I watched it last year when people were running at Tatum with those double teams, and he was kind of freaking out, and he's a more level-headed, controlled player than there will be some days where I come in after a game and Ted Johnson is just going to be berating me with negative play, turnover, double teams, bad passes.
I mean, bro, have you ever held a basketball?
No question. But I think in the totality, the 82-game season, I think JB is going to put up some. And you can also, it's the NBA, depending on if you're a mediocre 40-something, 42-40 type team, you can put up good statistics and still have some really bad games mixed in there. And I think that might be the tale of JB's season along the way.
Chris Mannix was very meh on the Eastern Conference overall. The fact that he said you could take an 8 or 9 seed from the West and drop them in to the East and they might win the conference. I mean, that just tells you how top heavy the West is. And just sort of like looking through the East to make a prediction as to who finishes on the top all the way down to 8 in playoffs. Like, I just look at all these teams, like, I don't see anybody who's going to guard him so unless he's doubled. But that opens up opportunities for others. That's a tease to my three-point stance.
Okay, we look forward to your three-point stance. We also look forward to a full season preview for the Celtics a little bit later in the show. We'll also talk at 3:45 with our buddy Adam Schefter, who had bad bunny breaking news today. They're not replacing him. My guy George Strait is not going to get the gig. They're sticking with it. It's time now for the three-point stance.
19!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bang!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone! A three-run homer and the game is tied!
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you too got bad bunny news, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. That's more of a tongue twister than I gave it credit for. But yep. It is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, and we will present to you our biggest stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance, somehow trying to tie together all four big four pro teams in Boston sports.
Indeed.
So are you ready for that?
Absolutely.
Okay, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So when Mike Vrabel took the job running the Patriots, he said he wanted to remove entitlement from the building down in Foxborough. And that's a good thing, obviously, and I think he did that with this team. But it got me thinking, as we look at the four major sports teams over the last year or so, I think entitlement has been removed from Boston sports, and I think that is a great thing. There are the spoileds, as Fitzy mentioned earlier, that might like, I'm not going to watch the Celtics this year because they're not going to compete for a title. But I think most Boston sports fans are now enjoying nightly games more because none of the four teams is expected to be the best of the best. The Celtics got broken up. The Patriots, it's been years since we felt that way. The Bruins have a new coach, some young stars, and a lot of question marks. And now with the Celtics, without Jason Tatum, without all the stars, are they a top-tier team? Probably not. But should we be excited about these sporting events again? Absolutely. The Red Sox, even, were not predicted by many to win the World Series. The expectations are going to grow in the coming years for the Boston Red Sox. But I think we learned with them, sometimes just a one-off on Friday night walk-off is really fun. It's not the World Series. It's not even the playoffs. It's just a fun, entertaining night out at a sporting event. And all four sports teams should enjoy that right now because titles aren't really in the conversation right now.
So basically that was... Now, I wonder what... Let me ask this question. Would Ted yell at you for saying you're telling me how to feel?
I don't think so. I don't think I told it. I think just that we acknowledge that entitlement has been removed. No one feels in the city of Boston right now that they are entitled to a title.
So that's so your 3-point stance, I'm just processing it and I'm not disagreeing with it. You're looking for if anyone hasn't gotten on board with this yet, we should all recalibrate back to, hey, enjoy the team, enjoy the competition, enjoy the night out, enjoy the sport for what it is, not, oh my God, we got to win a championship. It's not duck boats or bust.
Live night by night. Like, be entertained night by night. Watch the game. Watch the three games that week. And live that without fixating on, like we did it with the Celtics last year. What does this mean for their chances to win the title? They're supposed to win the... No. Just take it as it comes. And then over the long haul, maybe they're better than you expected. Maybe they go deeper than you expected. Maybe the Patriots, right? They're a perfect example. Did we think necessarily they'd be 5-2 right now and in first place in the East and the number two seed in the conference?
No.
And has it been fun?
Hell yeah, it has.
Really enjoyable. So do that with all four teams. And for a while there, we were so caught up in being title town. Every team has to be. That's what we do in Boston. It's championship or bust. Don't mean a thing if it ain't got no ring kind of thing. No. You know, Fitzy, you've done this long enough with me. Sports starts about entertainment. Mm-hmm. And the rest kind of follows after
like
the entertainment.
Like last night is a great recent example. If the Bruins won last night, I would have been thrilled. Why? Because that was going to be one of their Super Bowls. They're not going to be a playoff team. They more than likely is not going to be a postseason. That's about as big, that's about as marquee, that's about as significant a game as the Bruins would play all season. I just wanted them to win because I wanted the best fans in Boston, Bruins fans, to get their night out on the causeway, and it was a bummer that it didn't end that way.
And in a weird way, you can get more joy out of it because over the course of a season, you can have a random Tuesday night where you're all jacked up. Because you're not fixated on, we got to win 60 games, be the number one seed, go to the title. So you can enjoy more little aspects along the way, even if you're probably not going to get that grand celebration at the end of the season. Yes, Stiz.
Kind of sounds like that was a big hit of copium.
I don't know what that is.
Wow, it's, like it's
coping,
a fake drug.
You know, like you're coping. Like, you know, titles
copium,
are off
like
the
that.
Table.
Yeah. You're making excuses.
Yeah, you kind of are. You're making excuses.
I'm not making any
excuses. It's not
I'm
about the rings. It's the friends
in an Avatar, is it like fake drugs. Like in Avatar, isn't the drug that they go after called unobtainium?
You would know better than I. Yeah, but
and Ted would know better
Ted
than all
would
of
know
us.
Ted. Tomorrow we'll ask him. Also, we got the 508 five pro sports teams with pro all in caps.
Is that the Revs?
Yeah, it says New England Revolution.
I said big four.
Yeah.
Yeah. The MLS is not yet a Big Four sports league.
If we're talking about teams that win in Boston, you have to put the Free Jacks in there before you put the Revs.
Yeah,
pretty
no
sure
question.
The Revs season just petered out and they just quietly went into the offseason.
Yeah,
season,
they
right?
finished on a tie last weekend. It was kind of like, oh, all right, let's wrap this one up and just kind of forget it happened. I understand the point that you're making, but everything has remained the same except for the Celtics being sold. These teams are making more money than God, but I'm supposed to accept that all of a sudden now the Boston sports are the least competitive that they've been in years?
Do you believe that, though, that they're the least competitive they've been in years? The Red Sox went to the playoffs. The Celtics are going to go to the playoffs, and the Patriots are going to go to the playoffs.
Yeah, but
Bruins stink.
In terms of competing for championships, so you're saying that none of the four teams have a chance to win a championship. This is the first time in years that has been the case for all four, no?
Well, that is a little subjective. Are there people out there that think the Patriots could go to the Super Bowl?
There are.
Okay, Fitzy says there are. I
100%.
Looked at him. You people think they could
you
go?
You said people. That means plural of person.
Yes.
So, yes.
All you need is two.
There's two.
Perfect. There's people out there. Are there people that think...
Why not us, kid?
The Red Sox next year could win the World Series? There were a few this year. But next year, after an offseason in which they... Kyle Tucker, did you see John Heyman? They are expected to be interested in Kyle Tucker.
Good, yeah, another lefty.
That's not what I want to be reduced to. I don't want to be reduced to, oh my God, maybe we'll actually sign the big free agent this year and we'll be able to chase after our wild cards. That's not what Boston sports since the turn of the century has been about.
And that's my point. There was a sense of entitlement that, Fitzy, you called it yesterday. You said just for the Patriots.
Uh-huh.
But it wasn't real. Like, that
no,
much
it's a
success.
It's a surreality.
You're back to reality. And reality, ooh, Eminem is
gravity.
Entertaining. No, it just allows you, if you open yourself up to being entertained on a Tuesday night, I think you get more joy out of it. Maybe I'm just having
so you should lose
an
yourself
epiphany,
in the moment.
An enlightening moment here. Yes, each moment can bring joy, right? Each moment can bring joy along the way as we work our way back to whichever team is next on the title train. I don't know what it is, but I do think sort of the 20 years created entitlement with people like you people, young Dan Ball, think it's always going to be that way. My kids are that way. And that's not reality. That's
Dan,
not reality.
Dan, when the Connecticut School of Broadcasting was still open and active, was accusing people of things like the number one best way to like get people.
Yeah, that's week one on the syllabus. Yeah, believe me. No, I think what you perceive as entitlement for me is just a learned behavior. I have ownership groups that are spending on high quality front office executives and good players and winning championships.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden now I'm just supposed to be like, yeah, but you know, the Bruins tied the game with a minute and a half to go yesterday. Like, why can I not also enjoy the little moments mm-hmm. on a season that has a chance to end in a championship?
Because it's not that easy. Even though you've grown up in it seeming that easy, where every year you were like, well, two of the four are competing for a title. And I haven't looked year by year, but like most of your life, a couple of the Boston sports teams were probably
right.
in very realistic contention for a title. I think that's unrealistic. I think that is not what history would show
peaked.
Us. I mean, yes, you've had your best run of sports in all likelihood, and it's a historic run. And a lot of other cities have looked at you with contempt because of it, because they've lived more of a real world life along the way. And it just, I like the idea. And we had some reactions in both directions. My favorite Celts team to watch, magical. I missed it. It moved. I hate when it moves when you're reading it.
I was also right. It was Unobtainium and Avatar. Thank you, Text Line.
But also, these owners in these franchises charge us enough money that's on par with Dan and I's expectations.
Yeah, not enough has changed financially or circumstantially for me to just be okay with not competing for championships anymore.
Everything is stupid expensive. If you went with that theory, you wouldn't buy anything.
Unless you watch a Falcons game.
I mean, yeah, I guess you could go watch a Falcons. But for the most part, things are really expensive in entertainment, right? And I'm not just including sports. If you go to movies are way more than they used to be, right? Like, you go out to dinner way more than it used to be. If you go to the theater, way more than it used to be. Like, it's just, that's just the reality.
See,
of
life. I love somebody mentioned IT, Isaiah Thomas 4 on the text line. He narrated
See,
the Celtics hype video. That season was, I had no expectations, and he came from out of nowhere. He is one of my five favorite Celtics ever for the way he played, the heart, the grit, the hustle, the 50-something point effort after his sister loses. Like, that guy was it. The 2008 season, one of my favorites. They didn't even make the freaking playoffs, and I effing love that team. I did not like last season's Celtics, that Celtics season at all, because I think it came with elevated expectations, entitlement, and, oh, they're just going to go back through, 82-0 on the table, blah, blah. It was not fun to me. They constantly could not live up to what other people thought they should do, whereas this team now is, to me, it's bereft of expectation, so let's see what you can make of yourself. That should lead to a fun, unpredictable season.
And that's what I'm saying. You can enjoy it along the way a little bit more if you're not so fixated on February for football or October for baseball. These seasons are too long to look past them. Like, enjoy them along the way. They're just too long. All right, Danball.
All right, gentlemen. Good conversation.
Guess I'm the only positive guy around here.
Yeah, I just, you know, I want championships out of my teams, God forbid.
You're spoiled. You're entitled.
Absolutely, and don't you forget it. Fitzy, are you ready?
Continuing on the basketball variation, let's have a go, shall we?
All right, here's 60 seconds for your go. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've been making this point now for the majority of the show and for a while that I didn't really enjoy last season's Celtics season, and I'm really looking forward to this year's Celtics season, one which certain fans may not be because, well, they don't think the Celtics may even make the playoffs, let alone have a chance to compete for banner number 19. Oh, well, them's the breaks, them's the drops. But I'll tell you, there's opportunity for so many players on this team. Like, Andy believes Jaylen Brown can become a first or second team All-NBA player. I bet beers against it. There's an opportunity for guys like Anthony Simons to prove that he wants to stay in green, get another contract, and stick around for a couple of years. Jason Tatum to come back faster than anyone has from an Achilles tear and prove that he's still an alpha. But to me, if this team is going to do anything, for me, if this team is going to show the heart, the resolve, the grit, the hustle, and beyond, like we mentioned before with Isaiah Thomas 4, then look no further than Mr. Everything himself, Derek White. When the Celtics needed to call on somebody in clutch moments in postseasons past, down in Miami at the last minute, last year when they couldn't do squat against Orlando, whenever someone gets hurt, who do they call to sub in? Somebody who is better than Brock Holt at being the Brock Holt person. It's Derek White. He's a great three-point shooter. He's a tremendous defender. He's an offensive threat, a great distributor of the ball, and he is going to become, if he isn't already, everyone's favorite Celtic this year.
Not mine, because that's JB.
Everyone that has their brain screwed on right, Celtics' favorite this person this year.
You should also add that he's just like everyone else. He goes to college football games and gets hammered so he can barely stand up.
And actually, he's just like everyone else. He goes to parades and gets hammered and then gets lost. Stiz, you remember that video I'm talking about, right?
Wasn't he at Cisco Brewers, I believe.
He was just sort of like wandering by the water down by like a train track or something. You could have been like, what's your name, sir? Wednesday. All right. Let's call this guy a lift. He was plowed. But it doesn't matter. He earned it. I mean, who booted in the boat and then like booted on the beers and then rinsed them off and passed them out to people?
Ew.
Was that Hauser?
Gross. I didn't know that.
No, I think it was. It was Hauser. He threw up all over himself and the beers and then like he booted and rallied.
Okay,
in the duck boat.
Somewhat impressive.
But anyway, Derek White, what is there? I mean, I know everyone already like loves Derek White, but
yeah.
Why isn't this an opportunity for him? He's already an NBA champion. He's an Olympic champion. Why can't he now elevate to legitimate league-wide superstar?
He absolutely could. I think all three of those guys have that opportunity. Peyton Pritchard, Derek White, Jaylen Brown. They're getting their opportunity to be
it's an audition. Just like you talked about, if Simmons wants a deal, if he's going to prove that he belongs in the Celtics, this is his audition. He gets 40, 45 games.
Yeah, the Derek White thing, and Terp actually brought this up. I think Terp, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, thinks that Derek White has a chance to lead the team in scoring, not Jaylen Brown.
Oh, Terp,
which would definitely be interesting.
Sexy South Shore son of a bitch.
I think he absolutely has the opportunity to become a more popular player based on night in and night out contributions. He famously said it, like, could I score 30 points a night somewhere? Maybe I could, but that's not my role with this team.
Right.
Well, now it is.
Now it is.
If you're capable, Derek White, of scoring 30 points a night, now is the time to score 30 points a night, starting tonight against the 76ers at the Garden, because that will help this team. That'll take pressure off JB.
Yep.
That'll help this team win.
Yep.
That'll help replace the Jason Tatum lost points, the whole thing. I don't know anybody who doesn't like Derek White. It will be interesting to see, because he actually has the, I think, best spot here, because JB is under a lot of pressure. People are waiting to say, oh, you want to be the alpha? You're the alpha. Good luck. And even Peyton Pritchard goes from sixth man to starter. Can you do it in the starting lineup? Derek White, I feel like, can skate by, and if he just stays in the same role, everybody will love him. If he's still just a complimentary player, everybody will still love him.
Going to need more. And when they've asked more of him, he's always delivered.
Yeah, but that's a lot harder, easier to do on like a one-off basis here or there, a three-game basis here or there. Isn't he a guy that last January looked like he couldn't shoot?
It's because he was depressed and lost his love for basketball for a while.
Yeah, well, what if he sucks to start the season? Might he get depressed?
Come on, give the guy a chance. Now I'm depressed. All right, move on.
No, I love Derek White. I hope he's successful. And I think that duo, my dream scenario is that duo becomes the face of the Celtics. Jaylen Brown and Derek White. Jaylen Brown as your slasher, your scorer, and Derek White as your guy leading
the way. Did you just say you're
trading
Tatum?
No.
You just said they become the face of the Celtics.
That's all I heard
right now.
Right, correct me if I'm right. I don't think I have those UN headphones on, but I heard.
I think you took that a step further than I intended it, but whatever. If you want to trade him, trade him.
My dream is Jaylen Brown and Derek White with Peyton Pritchard and the rest of the non-Jason Tatum Celtics lead them to glory, and Jason Tatum gets traded for future firsts. That's what I heard.
I don't hate the plan. If it works out that way, I don't hate the plan. There's a lot to like in that.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I didn't mean it, but okay. I like your interpretation of my own words.
How about that?
We have time for one more?
Absolutely.
We got
a Dan Ball minute.
Okay. Well, I'm going to spend mine complaining about the Boston Bruins more time. Because why was I so pessimistic about the Boston Bruins at the beginning of the season? And what has shown itself through to this point in the season for the Bruins? It's the fact that their player development is not only laughable, but a fireable offense for members of their front office. Last night's lines, Geeky Lindholm Pastrnak. Two signings, one draft pick. You got one draft pick in there. The next three lines, zero players drafted by the Boston Bruins at any point. Your top pair of Lauri and McAvoy, two draft picks, neither of which are living up to expectation. Harris, Peak, Zadorov, Jokiharju, no draft picks. 29 players have been drafted by the Boston Bruins since 2021. Zero of them are on the roster, let alone in the lineup last night. The last Bruins draft pick to record 50 career points or more is Charlie McAvoy, chosen in the first round of 2016. It has been a decade plus since the Bruins have had any kind of success bringing in their own players, and when you have a salary cap that's only around $90 million, you have to bring in guys on entry-level contracts. That's the only way that you can compete in today's NHL. So as much as we were rooting for the Bruins, maybe you can sneak into the wild card. They've been forced to sign players for too much money because they have no eye for drafting young players, and they haven't for a while.
Wow. Playing the role of Bill Belichick in this play is Don Sweeney.
Absolutely.
Can you read that number again?
Since
2021?
Since 2021, 29 players have been chosen by the Bruins. So that's five draft classes worth, and none are on the active roster right now.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I think.
You know what, Don Sweeney should be happy? That hockey is a little bit more of a niche sport. Because if that were football and Bill Belichick and all the talking that goes on around that, that is eye-opening.
Yeah, you have
0 for 21?
Even 29? Even Arcand can't argue with the idea that the Bruins are definitely in a rebuild.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He can certainly try.
Stop it. Don't poke the bear. He'll come flying through the window or something.
What are you talking about, face toast?
I've never heard the radio version of pulling the pin on a grenade and throwing it into a room, so I appreciate that.
And then walking into that room.
Yeah, absolutely. And then saying, hey, I wonder if it's warmer in here. It's a fireable offense. There are guys that are in the AHL, Lysel, Patra, but as long as the Bruins continue to make money for the Jacobs family, which they do, they're going to continue to employ former Bruins, which they do, and I just think you can't look past how historically bad they've been bringing in young and cost-controlled players.
That is eye-opening. Yep. That is the best statistic you've brought to this show. That number right there. 29 draft picks since 2021. Not a single one is contributing right now to a team that's in a rebuild.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just loaded. There's no room for anybody to join. They're all veterans coming off, multiple cup
runs. Who are you going to displace on this wagon?
You're rebuilding and have nothing to build with.
Nope.
Like, you turned around for the studs that you need for the wall, and you're like, did you order studs? I did, but they're rotten, so we can't use them.
This
so
is the time that the Patras, the Lysels, the younger guys that you did pick should be playing, but they view them as so far below where they should be developmentally that you signed Corrali and Azmon and all these guys that you've never heard of. And it blows my mind. So when you wonder why the Bruins aren't farther along in trying to compete again, that's the reason why.
That's your best three-point stance ever. Well done, Dan Ball.
Oh, thank you.
That's going to do it for three-point stances today. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's Wednesday, so we turn the page. Mike Vrabel tells us to. We can't talk about Tennessee anymore. There's a new game on the horizon. another team he recently worked for. It's the Cleveland Browns coming to town. So our first look at the Browns. Bad team, good defense. That's up next here on WEEI.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, afternoons.
May threw it behind Douglas, who made the catch. What a catch by DeMario Douglas, and it's good for a New England first down.
Hey, my hand's certified, but they ain't nothing like yours. They ain't nothing like yours.
Patriots, Browns, Gillette Stadium, 1 p.m. Sunday on Fox. Our guy, Mark Schlereth, will be on the call with Chris Myers. Fitzy, are the Packers better than the Patriots?
Yes.
So, therefore, should it be concerning to the Patriots that the Browns have two wins on the season? One of them was against the Packers. Is that a cautionary tale for your New England Patriots?
It most certainly is. I have marked this one. I red-penned this one. I circled it. I put a star next to it. I set a Google Calendar reminder. This is going to be a tough game. You're not going to just walk in and walk. You're not going to show up at your own house and walk all over a team.
But we're at home.
Yeah. Okay. What
We're
are the
5-2?
What are the records? What's the split?
At home. They don't want to do that. Not a very good home team.
4-0 on the road. 1-2 at home.
Due to get to 500 at home, then. But you're a 5-2 team against a 2-5 team.
On. Let me open my FanDuel app and see if there are any odds on just being due.
Absolutely, you get good juice on it too. Good juice on being due because it never works out in the end for me.
Nope.
Scoring differential for your 2-5 Browns this year that did beat the Packers. Mm-hmm. And did beat the Dolphins.
Can beat the Dolphins.
Well, I mean, you only beat the Dolphins because a little
impressive.
Foot stepped out of bounds.
It's impressive that you beat the Packers if you're the Cleveland Browns because that is one of the better offenses in the NFL. They do have a good defense. It wasn't a high-scoring affair.
13-10.
They suffocated them.
You know what that also was? That was one of my many, many, many losses in the pick six on the season where I thought, the Packers will beat the Browns. Just like everybody thinks the Patriots will beat the Browns. Scoring differential, they're minus 39 on the season, the Browns. 25th in the NFL. Turnover differential, 0. That's 14th in the NFL. Their offense is not good. They're 30th, 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 31st in pretty much everything. I don't need to give you the categories. Just let you know they're not very good.
I can imagine they involve running and passing.
Dylan Gabriel is their quarterback until Shedeur Sanders is their quarterback.
Do we see him Sunday?
I would not rule that out. They're a debacle. Like, I saw a CBS pregame show last week. They asked the panel. There were, like, these questions they didn't know were coming. And they asked all of them, is the Cleveland Browns starting quarterback for next year currently on their roster? And everybody said, yeah, right? Like, I mean, you got two young quarterbacks. One of them's going to be whatever. Matt Ryan was like, the way this team goes through quarterbacks, I don't think on the roster.
No, they have the wall. They have the jerseys. Like, the jerseys have run out of space.
They drafted two this year. At least one of them should stick around for a second season.
Not when they're both kind of meh.
Now let's get to the defensive side of the ball. Points per game, 13th. Very meh. Yards per game,
tops.
Uno. Number one in
tops,
the league.
Tops.
They have 8 takeaways, which is middle of the pack. Their EPA per play is 3rd in the league. The EPA per dropback is 8th. EPA per run play is 2nd. They're a really good defense. Miles Garrett, who our boss man, Ken Laird, wanted to talk about trading for. Trade for Myles Garrett. Send a couple first-round picks. Love the idea, except for, I believe, the dead cap money makes it an impossibility based on the contract extension.
It's A.J. Brownish.
Yes. Same exact thing.
That would have cost you. That would have cost you.
I would take him, though.
You want over to talk Will about Campbell. Would you have taken him over Will Campbell?
Yeah. I think Myles Garrett changes everything. I think he's like, you know, you saw the trade where Ted was talking about the numbers for Dallas when they had Micah Parsons and
didn't have Micah Parsons.
I think Myles Garrett's better. So you put him on a Patriots defense with, you still have Christian Gonzalez, you still have Carlton Davis and Spillane, Milton Williams. You brought those guys in and then you traded for, oh my God, I think your defense would be phenomenal.
Off
left tackle,
charts.
Gotta figure it out. Don't know, have to figure it out. Not sure what we're doing there. Figure it out, but I think you could. But are you concerned about this game? I know you've circled it in pen, but is your concern level for the Browns like, oh, it could just kind of be a slog fest and, you know, we're really going to have to take a beating from their defense and then we'll win in the end? 7-point favorite. You're a 7-point favorite over the Browns.
That's a big cover. That's a big ask against a team that routinely doesn't get beat deep, that fights for every inch on the line of scrimmage. And the Patriots only got their run game going against the worst rush defense.
And speaking of the do column in your app, don't you think Drake May is a little due or maybe even overdue to look like a young quarterback for at least 5 minutes?
We talked about it yesterday. I was standing on the treadmill today looking for places that I could possibly place an over 0.5 INTs bet this Sunday.
So the Patriots are 7-point favorites. The Browns are headed to town. Do they get to 6 wins or do they continue to be a struggling home team in Foxborough? Continue to talk about that the rest of the show, the rest of the week. But up next, our guy Adam Schefter, ESPN. Yes, Drake May is an MVP candidate. He's so much an MVP candidate, we don't even have to ask Adam about it. But we'll ask him about Bad Bunny, maybe, the halftime show, the rest of the league. I don't know what that face is for, Stiz. But Adam Schefter is up next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
WEEI Afternoons, and let's go right to the guest line where we are joined by ESPN's Adam Schefter, who is brought to you by your New England Chevy dealers, Together Let's Drive, and by Jeanne d'Arc Credit Union, tackling financial wellness since 1912, stronger members, stronger communities. Learn more at jdcu.org. Adam Schefter, how are we doing this week?
Gentlemen, what is going on here?
Okay, so I got to ask you the question. Last week, you told me there were lots of guys that were strong candidates for MVP. You had Puka Nacua, a bunch of quarterbacks. Now I'm looking around the Twittersphere and the gambling apps, and there's a lot of Drake May top five MVP candidate debate. Are you willing to say now, right now, Drake May is an MVP candidate?
Oh, that, I don't think that's going out on a limb and saying he's a candidate. That's fine. I mean, I'd love to be wrong. I don't think he's going to win the MVP of the league this year, but he's building a case each and every week. He absolutely would be in the conversation, but you're going to have to beat out Patrick Mahomes. You're going to have to beat out Daniel Jones. You're going to have to beat out Jonathan Taylor. You're going to have to beat out Baker Mayfield, who struggled. You're going to have to beat out, we can make an argument for Jackson Smith and Jigba. I'm sure there are other people I'm forgetting and drawing a blank on right now. Again, Drake May has been great. The Patriots are in first place. He is a MVP candidate, but he's not the leader, and I still would be surprised if he won it, though I would love to be proven wrong.
That was this week's Drake Take from Adam Schefter, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive.
Okay, Adam, so who would potentially right now thus far, I know they don't give out MVP or the award, the awards get handed out a couple nights before the Super Bowl, so you got a little while, but thus far, over a third of the way through the season, who would be your coach of the year in the NFL?
Shane Steichen, probably. Mike Vrabel will get support. I mean, you really couldn't go wrong either way there. I just think that the Colts have been so bad. I know the Patriots have been bad, too. I mean, they've both been bad. By the way, I can make an argument for Mike McDonald in Seattle also. But I think the two leaders would be Shane Steichen and Mike Vrabel. And the great part is we're 7 weeks in. We don't have to vote right now because there are 11 more weeks to go. So it'll be proven out on the field to see which one is more worthy of winning that award.
Adam, I'm wondering whether it's your own opinion or what you've heard of. I know you talked to a lot of people over the years, coaches, executives. How long does it take before we know what a QB is? And the reason I ask that is, like, C.J. Stroud was the next big thing, and then he's kind of had some issues, and the O-line's not good enough. And, you know, Jaden Daniels had a ridiculous rookie year, and now the reality is kind of biting him in the NFL with injuries and different things. We're in the midst of Drake May's, you know, unbelievable six-week run here. When do you settle in that guy that looks that way really is that way?
You know, it's a very interesting question because I think the bar has moved on quarterbacks. I remember when I was growing up, and I'm an old guy by now. You know, I've covered the NFL for over 35 years. But I remember when I was growing up, I remember my father distinctly telling me that in the National Football League, you have to wait 5 years before you could tell whether or not a franchise had a quarterback. And I think that that line has moved closer to five games now rather than before you can tell. I think there are little things that you can see almost immediately. Either they pass the eye test or they don't. Either they make some plays and flash or they don't. Like Cam Ward, I know he struggled, but he's flashed at times. And he's playing in a bet, and you could kind of see this guy's got a real chance to be a real good quarterback. I'm not telling you he will be, but you could see it. There are other people at times that you look at, you're like, like it doesn't look like this guy's have it. And we're also living in a time where you might think a guy doesn't have it only to see him go elsewhere to demonstrate that he does have it, i.e. Baker Mayfield, i.e. Sam Darnold, i.e. Daniel Jones. But even those guys at times flashed in their previous stops. Like there were moments that Sam Darnold had in New York. Not many of them, but moments. And then, of course, you went to San Francisco and Minnesota, and you could see even more. Baker Mayfield. I know that Cleveland ran him out, but there were actual games he played that were pretty good. Daniel Jones was good enough at one point in time that the New York Giants chose him ahead of Saquon Barkley in terms of who to pay and who not to pay, which, again, you know, they made a decision to pay Daniel Jones $40 million and not pay Saquon Barkley. That's how impressive he was at one point in time, right? So I think the line is always moving. I think it's always blurred. But I think the definition of what a quarterback is constantly changing, but I think it's the kind of thing you either see it right away or you don't.
Last Sunday, Adam, a number of national reporters and insiders began the speculation of, I'm hearing that so-and-so could be traded, or word is that this organization is looking for X, Y, and Z. A lot of people mentioned the Patriots as a possible target for, or rather destination, I should say, excuse me, for cornerback depth, wide receiver, or edge rusher. Looking to Miami and what a disaster that team is right now, how Mike McDaniel is still there is beyond all of us. Have you heard anything on a shakeup in Miami and them possibly dealing away pass rushers like Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips?
Well, I would say this, that they're not looking to do that. In terms of make change, I think they're going to make trades here. But, you know, when people look at the Dolphins or the Jets or the Raiders or whatever team is not winning right now, just because they're not winning right now doesn't mean that they're giving away their players. That's not how this happens. You know, if they're not finding that they get commensurate value, then they may not deal some of those players. I mean, that's certainly possible. But I think that the Dolphins will be looking to trade some of those pass rushers, will be looking to get back compensation for some of these guys. And if they can get fair deals, yeah, I could see them making deals. Yes.
Adam, I looked at the standings, and there's 20 teams, I believe, that are 500 or above right now. And particularly in the AFC, I think there's some people that look at the standings in the top and with a skeptical eye. Does that affect the trade deadline? If there's more teams in the hunt and they think, oh, we could catch the Patriots, we can catch the Colts, limit trades? No?
I don't think so. I think that there are a lot of teams. Like, you can look in the NFC right now and see 9 legitimate playoff teams right now. Like, 9 teams going, and what are there, 7 spots?
Yep.
So, you know, that's going to be quite a race there in the NFC. The AFC, I don't know if it's quite as deep there, but I don't know that more winning teams translates into increased leverage for team trading player. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I think we could probably all agree that the success of the Colts thus far, not only is that one of the stories of the season, that they have to be the best surprise team in terms of success thus far. Who would you say is the biggest surprise as far as disappointment goes on the 2025 season thus far, Adam?
Well, the Baltimore Ravens. I thought that they were good enough to go to the Super Bowl this year, and they've been terrible so far. Now, you could blame that on them not having Lamar Jackson and other players, but Detroit played without its entire secondary on Monday night and had one of the great defensive performances we've seen this season. Mm-hmm. They've clearly struggled. The Miami Dolphins, you know, I don't think a lot of people thought they'd be this bad, but yet here they are, really struggling right now, which has not been great. The Bengals lose Joe Burrow, so you can't blame that. The Jets haven't won a game. I mean, you know, I think people thought the Jets would win some games. They haven't even done that. So, I mean, look, there's always going to be teams that exceed expectations, and there are always going to be teams that fall short of expectations. This year is no different.
Adam, we did an exercise earlier in the week where we all tried to come up with our top 5 quarterbacks right now, not career awards or based on history, but literally through 7 games. I'm going to admittedly put you a little bit on the spot right now, but if I asked you to give me Adam Schefter's top 5 quarterbacks in the NFL right now, who's on the list?
Patrick Mahomes.
Hello?
I'm just thinking.
Same thing happened to us, Adam. It's a tough question.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes. I'll give you Drake May in the top 5 right now because I think he's been playing at that level. Baker Mayfield, Matthew Stafford, and Daniel Jones.
Wow. What a list that is. Did you ever think you'd have Drake May and Daniel Jones on that list 7 weeks in?
No. But that's kind of where we're at. And I don't think I'm being unreasonable in saying that those are the guys that you look at right now. And I think that that's perfectly within the realm of possibility and believability, so to speak.
And as we let you go on this, is it safe to say that's good for the league? Because you still have the Josh Allens and the Lamars and the Joe Burrows going to get healthy. They're going to be good. Is it good for the league that you have some new faces up there in that top quarterback list?
Yeah. I think we've got some different storylines to track, undoubtedly. That's never a bad thing for the NFL. And I think there are a lot of good storylines to be tracking this year, a lot.
All right, Adam, we know you'll be tracking the lead up to the trade deadline. We got, less than 2 weeks to go here, so we'll be following you on social media. Hopefully there's a Patriots trade in there somewhere. We'll talk to you next week.
Well, we're going to see. I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a great week. Enjoy the game on Sunday, and we'll see how this one goes.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. You too. Thanks, Adam.
That's ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Kind of coming. I like the that interview really sort of like ended a crescendo. Like, I liked it. I like he put his list out there. Like, he was confident in it. Like, he gave us some good answers.
Pretty confident once there was a, hello, you still there? Did we lose you?
Think. It's Mahomes and, like, I think.
What was the next name he said?
Drake May.
Adam Schefter listed his top five quarterbacks. First name was the obvious one because he is having a good season, even though people want to pretend he's not. And the second name after Patrick Mahomes was your quarterback, Drake May.
He went with the MMM route. That helps. And then Matthew Stafford
was his
four M's. Yeah, that helped a lot. Like, the alliteration.
I don't know what to do. I just say all the M quarterbacks. Yeah. Just spit it out. 617-779-7937. Do you agree with Adam Schefter? Is Drake Mahomes a top five quarter? Excuse me, Drake May?
No.
That was a Freudian slip.
No.
Drake Mahomes is the number two best quarterback in the NFL. Drake May, Patriots quarterback. Up next, we'll continue to talk about Adam Schefter's top five list as well as a Celtics preview. That means I'm giving you my record and how many points Jaylen Brown is going to score this year. I'm just going to give you a hint. It's a lot. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.